Howdy, everybody. Welcome to the Hot Nerd Podcast. Continuing on this basics thing, we're going to talk about the basics of basics. I guess how the basics play nice with the basics of the basics. Confusing, I know, but it's going to be a fun conversation and an important one. So here we go. Welcome to another episode of the Hop Nerd Podcast. I am your host, Sam Goodman, the Hop Nerd LLC. Make sure you head over to the website, www.thehopnerd.com, for fundamentals, learning teams, support, and so much more. Send us an email, thehopnerd@gmail.com, and be sure to follow along with us on all things social media at the Hop Nerd or at Sam Goodman. Welcome to today's episode. Cold brew in me. I'm having a nice Black Rock extra large cold brew this morning, and I'm having it out of a teeny tiny straw because Jarell and I, we went to the coffee place this morning, as we tend to do, like super early in the morning. We'll get up early, we'll take a little stroll around the neighborhood, do something like that, and then go cruise over and get some coffee and get him out of here in time. In time to get across town. He works all the way across the other side of the Valley of Phoenix. So we're a bit of early risers. And this morning, we didn't go to Dutch Bros. We didn't go to Starbucks. We didn't go to Anthem here next to the house. We went to Black Rock Coffee. And, you know, if you're listening to the sideshow, and I hope that you are, I'm trying to put those things out as much as I can. It's a little bit of everything else. No subject, just me chatting with you about everything that we've got going on. So if you want like updates and things like that, the sideshow is the easiest place to do that. One of my cold brews, like, oh, there we go. Went down the wrong hole there a little bit. But yeah, so that's the place to tune in and listen to all that stuff if you want to. And the reason why the coffee made me think of that is every single episode we're doing a cold brew review. And really, it's a bit of just an overall coffee review as I travel, as I go here, as I go there. If I'm coming to your neck of the woods, and the easiest way to know if I am is by signing up for the mailing list. If you just go over, I'm going to do it with you. If you just go over to thehopnerd.com/... Hold on, mailing list maybe? Is that right or is that wrong? Let's find out. That's not right. I lied to you. So let me try this again. You go over to thehopnerd.com. This is not sounding so easy peasy anymore. You can go to the main page, scroll to the bottom, click mailing list, or you can just go to thehopnerd.com/join/the/mailing, or is that, that's a dash. That's a dash, not a slash. You get the point. You can find it over on the website. I post where I'm going to be, and if you want to know where I'm at, or you can just follow me on LinkedIn too, or both. That makes it super easy. You can see where I'm at, and if I'm coming to your neck of the woods or your region, most importantly, we can hang out if you got a bit of time, and I've got a bit of time. And then at the very least, you can shoot me a DM or an email, thehopnerd@gmail.com, and let me know where I should find coffee. Yeah, where should I go get, like, the best cup of coffee in that area? All recommendations are welcome. And then on top of that, if you tell me where I should eat, that always helps me a bunch, too, because I'm guessing, and I'm usually short on time. So then I'm just whipping out the old DoorDash app and going, I guess Five Guys looks like it again tonight. Yeah, or, hey, there's a Cracker Barrel. I guess we're going with the good old trusty Cracker Barrel tonight. So let me know. The other things to share with. Okay, here's where I've got to jump back in, because I just sliced this right here in case you couldn't tell that this is just totally different than where I was going. But I forgot to tell you, it just hit me when I got done recording this pod. I tend to record these things pretty much straight through, that I forgot to tell you about my teeny tiny straw. So I've got to throw this in here. Sorry, but I'm going to get an email that says, you never told me about the teeny tiny straw. So Jarell ordered like his fancy pants drink, and I ordered my black cold brew, and then he was putting straws in it, like driving, and then like I go to look, and he used my big straw because I ordered an extra large, and he ordered like a medium. So I've got a teeny tiny straw. So I needed to give you closure on that, I guess is what I'm saying. I had to give you a bit of closure on my teeny tiny straw. So I'm sitting here drinking my cold brew out of a straw that does not reach the bottom of my cup. I'm going to have to rip the lid off. But there are worse things, I guess. It's slowed me down a bit. I've consumed my cold brew maybe a little bit slower. So maybe I'm figuring out ways to maybe throttle my consumption of caffeine here. But there you go. There's your closure. Back to the pod. Yeah, is that if you're listening to this episode, we are kicking off. This is day one of Hoppin' Operational Learning in Las Vegas. And I hope that you're there. So maybe you're not listening to this. But if you are listening to this and you're not in Las Vegas currently on your way to hang out with me and the amazing Steve Scott, I'm sorry. I'm not trying to give you too much FOMO, but you are missing out. That's all I can say. I can promise you, we're having an absolute hoot in Las Vegas. So I'm not sharing with you. I'm not sharing this with you to give you a whole bunch of FOMO. I'm sharing this with you to ask you a question. If you didn't come to Fear and Loathing, you know how we branded this thing. That was all for fun. I love that movie. I love Hunter S. Thompson. I can't help it. So when we had the opportunity to do this in Vegas, I just had to. When we had Hop and Operational Learning in Las Vegas, and maybe you're not there. Would you like to see more of these in the future? Maybe not in Las Vegas. I was having a conversation with somebody the other day about doing one of these in the Midwest. Yeah, that would be cool. I love my Midwest peeps. About doing another one of these maybe in the South. I love my Southern peeps. Maybe in Appalachia, where I'm from. I was having that conversation the other day of doing it in that Southwestern Virginia, West Virginia, North Carolina, Tennessee area. I don't know. Maybe even in Southern California. I was having that conversation the other day. What I'm asking you is that if you would like to see one of these workshops with me and somebody like Steve Scott, or hopefully Steve Scott. Steve, if you're listening, I want to do more. I haven't got to tell you that yet, but I definitely want to do more. And I want to do more with you, my amazing friend. But if you would like to see these, send me an email, thehopnerd@gmail.com. Let me know where and what you'd like to see. And coming up in this new year, maybe even towards the tail end of this year, I don't know, it's getting wild, but definitely into next year, maybe it's something that we can plan for. I want to bring you stuff that's useful to you, and hopefully bring it to you where you're at. And again, these things, you just never know. So I always want to pick your brain, and I always want to know what you're looking for. I spend so much of my time working internal to organizations, and that's an absolute blast. But these public-facing things, you seem to want them. So let me know your thoughts on it, thehopnerd@gmail.com. The last couple things I want to share with you, I'm going to shut up. I'm trying to get these things shorter. I just get so excited to talk to you. I'm sorry. I just get so excited. I get so excited. I can't help it. I love you, and I mean it, and I hope you know that. I get excited to share cool stuff with you. I shared with you the workshops and looked for your feedback on when, where, what we should do there moving forward. But the next thing is, starting points. We released the original deck in a deluxe expanded edition. How cool is that? Meaning that there's about 20 or 30 more cards in this deck and their tarot side. That means they're bigger. In case you didn't know, they are larger. And they come in a handy dandy tin carrying case. And I love them. I've got my hands on some. They're freaking slick. They're just great. We have those also available in our funky meeting starters. If you're looking to get your meeting started on a fun and funky foot, many folks have been using those. I put those in the hands of several folks. Many of you have ordered them and are using them as well. I put them in the hands of Jarrell. He's a leader in the healthcare world, and he's been using them to start his meetings off and getting a great, great result. So you can check those out at startingpointcards.com. I'm going to continue with starting points here because it's important. You know that we released the web app. We've pivoted. Yeah, because we are releasing an app on iOS and Android. So available in the App Store and the Google Play Store. It's not available yet. I'm working with an app developer. We're trying to make it happen. It's wild. It's wacky. It's weird. I'm not an app person. It's insane. It's a completely different language to me. I have no clue. But they seem to be doing a really, really great job, and we're almost there. We're almost ready to release. So with that being said, the web app itself, we have transitioned it to a completely free resource. It has limited decks available, meaning that they don't get like all the cards. It's not just like all that stuff there. But you do get some of the cards and some of all of the cards, meaning that you get some of the funky meeting starters. You get some of the original deck. You get some of this. You get some of that. You get a little bit of everything. And all you got to do that is go over and sign up. And there you go. You can get it on your phone. You can get it on your browser. But the cool thing about the app is we've added a whole bunch of features that we couldn't add on the web app, hence the pivot. So you've got a handy dandy easy swipe. You just swipe through. You can hit shuffle, and there's a built-in learning journal. So you can type in your notes, and then it populates a learning journal in the app, which is then tied to the card that you were asking questions around. And then you can export that as a PDF to your email, and you can say it's cool. So when it comes out, I'll let you know. Anybody that signed up for Starting Points, the web app, if you bought any of the memberships or anything like that, we've refunded those. You should see those come back pretty soon. Again, it's just part of this pivot. We're just like, hey, this is not exactly what we want it to be. We still think it has some value. Let's make it a free resource, and then let's get the actual app developed. So really easy to scale through your organization. No buying pallets of cards, no cards wearing out. As new card decks are available, they're dropped right to that app. The app in its first wave will just feature the original deck and the learning journal, and then we're going to add cards over time. Last but not least, a couple things. Make sure you check out the books. I always forget to tell you, go pick up 10 Ideas to Make Safety Suck Less, Safety Sucks Manifesto, the original Safety Sucks. I've been seeing that book everywhere in the wild lately. It's cool. People like pull it out of their trench coat pocket almost like a dirty man and go, hey, sign this for me, but don't tell anybody that I really love this book. But go check out all of that stuff as well. We have online learning, a nice little video-based online learning course you can find at thehopnerd.com. And if you need a hand this fall, my schedule's getting compressed. There's still some time. And really, there's dates available. But if you're looking for a specific date, get in touch sooner than later, because those are going to be gone. I've got some tight turnarounds on travel. So help me out. Help me out, friends. If you need a hand, let me know. And let me know sooner than later so we can get those dates for you. And it doesn't make me like go completely gray. I'm getting there, but go completely gray trying to plan travel. So with all of that said, here we go. Let's jump right on in to today's episode. I've got to tell you, so BlackRock is not my most favorite cold brew, but they were hitting on all cylinders this morning. You know my move. I'm a Starbucks person, and I don't like everything at Starbucks. Like, people say, like, I like Starbucks. That means, like, you like everything. I don't. The only thing I really like at Starbucks is the black cold brew. That's it. Like, I'm not into the nitro. I'm not into, but the BlackRock is doing pretty good. I definitely encourage you to check those folks out. If you're looking for cold brew and you have a BlackRock nearby, I would encourage you to stop. Gerald gets, like, these blended energy drink things, and he gets coffee sometimes, too. But they look very nice. A little too sweet for my taste. I'm not, like, the sugar person. But yeah, a lot of really, really great stuff. So today, what I want to talk to you about is a little bit of the basics, I guess, and not really defining the basics of the basics of the basics. But I set off a bit of a shitstorm, I guess, the other day on the internet. Who would have guessed me setting off a shitstorm on the internet of people all over the world that just sit around and write comments, I guess. And it took me a few days to, like, actually see some of this stuff and get back to it, because number one, it was posted on the Hop Nerd page, the Hop Nerd LLC page. And a lot of that stuff's just scheduled. The Hop Nerd posts, all those things, like, it's not like me. Like, it's not me sitting here, like, feverishly typing posts, like, all day long, living on LinkedIn, like, I'm going to post over, I'm going to post over. I'm working. Like, I'm busy. So those things are scheduled. Speaking of which, I don't know that I'm all the way there yet, but I'm in the initial phases of thinking about what it would look like to have someone that can just manage social media stuff. If you know of anybody, I don't even know where to start. I don't even know where to start, because it's so hard to communicate the stuff that we're talking about. And you got to have somebody that kind of knows what we're doing and kind of the stuff that exists in our world of human and organization performance of doing things a bit differently. You know where I'm going with that. But I'm really saying is, if you know of anybody out there that is reasonable and maybe does some of that stuff, can you point them in my direction? Again, no promises. I'm not quite saying that I'm going to make this happen, but it's a thought. It's something that we're kicking around, is having someone maybe help to manage some of those things. But back to the point, I didn't see this stuff for a couple days because, number one, I was working. Number two, it was on the Hop Nerd page. Number three, I don't live on the internet fighting in comment sections. Many of you know that I tend to reply where I can, and I don't engage with negativity all that much in the internet, especially when it's just negative for the sake of being negative, which is unfortunately what we see a lot. LinkedIn has become quite toxic in many ways relating to those. There's not very many good conversations. It's just like trolling conversations. It's all these kind of gotcha. And let's be real, it's almost always other folks that are consultants saying, my consultancy is better than your consultancy, and let me try to make you look like an ass. And I just don't play with that. We're too busy. We're too busy doing good stuff for the right reasons and helping organizations down this path of just doing things a bit better. So I just don't engage all that much with it. But the shitstorm that I unleashed, believe it or not, was through how we define human and organizational performance. So I define human and organizational performance as a collection of better beliefs, assumptions, thoughts, and ideas that we apply through the lens of a core set of principles. Now, I tend to add on .. that helps us create an environment in which learning is possible. And then we'll tend to add on after that, .. that when we lead through these principles, when we consistently lead through these principles, when we show people that we mean it, .. it's not just possible. It helps us create an environment in which operational learning becomes likely. To me, that's the entire point here, right? The entire point here is that we're clearing roadblocks to learning, safety or otherwise. Anything that creates silence within our organizations is bad for us, period. I can't imagine how that would be great for us. It's bad for us, it's bad for our businesses, and it's bad for our people. Anything that stifles dialogue being mission critical in our complex and complicated work worlds, not just in safety, but in thriving, in surviving even, in this complex and complicated business environment, in a world that is ever changing, we have to be able to have raw and real meaningful conversations. Now, where this conversation tended to spiral a bit was down the path of, just throw out all the basics, just throw out all the basics. I would encourage anyone that's listening to this podcast to show me where I've ever said that we need to dispose of anything that is working well within our work worlds, because I haven't. I would encourage anybody out there to show me where I've said the basics don't matter. Show me. I would really like to know where I've said, just learn from people and don't do lockout tagout. Have I ever said that? In fact, quite the opposite, right? So a lot of this conversation was a bit pointed, but then really moved to the point of like, hey, listen, like, I agree with a lot of what you're saying. Like, why you got to be so angry about it? That's some of it. Just smile a little bit. I've never said that we need to throw the baby out with the bathwater, that we do not need to be great at the basics. And this is to the basics of the basics, right? I'm the first person that will tell an organization that I don't think you're ready for what we've got. Oh, yeah, because I'm not out here just selling crap. I hope that that's felt. I hope that that's seen. I'm one of the very first people that when an organization approaches me and says, we're doing all this, and now we just want to throw some of this crap on there, this new flavor, this new fad. No, thank you. Like, listen, you need to get really good at the basics first. maybe to that point. So where I'm going with all this is that human and organizational performance, right? These key ideas, these principles, these thoughts, they help us create an environment in which learning is possible. When we create that environment and we get good at that, as we said, and we make operational learning likely, that learning informs us how well our basics are working, the basics of the basics, how good we actually are at the basics, instead of us just out there with a stick and a carrot saying basic, 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 basic. Really? Like, you don't want to know. You don't want to know. You want to go down the path of blame, shame, retrain, create silence in your organization, and then preach the basics about how we're just going to do the basics harder. And eventually, without any real operational intelligence, without any real tapping into the lived operational reality that exists around those basics, because we've created an environment in which operational learning is not possible, at least not real and meaningful operational learning is possible, where do we end up? We're not all that great at the basics. I think these things go hand in hand. To me, it's this. Treating our people like people is part of the basics. Yeah. Treating our people, instead of like trained dogs on a bad day and treating them like children on some of our best days, I think treating people like the good people that they are, I think that is as basic as it gets, period. Are good people doing good things with good intentions, creating mostly good outcomes, working within our organizations? That's as basic to me as it gets. Now, with that little rant out of the way, I think it's also important to add, you know, that as we think about safety management systems, as we think about all the important things, because they are important, the basics are important, and we should get great at the basics. Treating people well should be part of that basic package there. But I saw a slide, and it's been some time ago, and I think it came from Brian Haywood. And I know, Brian, if you listen to these, you may or may not, I don't know. But I loved this slide, and please forgive me if I butcher it, but I really loved what you were sharing on this slide, that human and organizational performance isn't a part of your safety management system. It informs your safety management system, right? So creating an environment in which operational learning is possible allows us to learn more. It allows us to know more and make better operational decisions around our safety management systems. We know where things are working. We know where things are not working. We know where things are working extremely well. We know where things are nearing failure, and on and on and on and on. It allows us the opportunity to improve our safety management systems. That's the entire point of this conversation, okay? It's not to trash our safety management systems. It's not to say that this stuff, just throw it away and take better care of it. That's not it. It's creating an environment where you get to uncover, you get to discover, you get to learn more, you get to know more about where your safety management systems suck, where you think they're working, because on paper it looks like they're working. But you've created an environment where people can't tell you the truth, that they're not working all that well. We make it look like they're working because you come around and you beat us with sticks if they're not working real well. You come around and you audit the hell out of those things, and you check, 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 recheck, recheck, recheck. We've gotten good at making it look like it's working, but it's not working. It helps us tap into those areas. It helps us tap into those places where things work well. Back to that point on human and organizational performance, I don't think it's so much of what we do. It's more about how we think about things. It's how we think about those things, those better beliefs and assumptions that set the stage for genuine trust, learning, and improvement around our safety management systems, around the basics of the basics, and so much more. So I guess the final word here, the couple key takeaways is this. And man, this is fun. I've not got to rant in a while. And I think that's probably the first takeaway that I'm going to share with you, is that don't get too obsessed about what people say on the internet, myself included. It's the internet, y'all. Come on. Like, laugh about it. It's all in good fun. At least to me it is. I think there's some mad people out there, unfortunately. But I just kind of chuckle and get back to work. I mean, that's all you can really do. So that's probably a side takeaway. Yeah, I'm not the third person from up on high in the mountain saying this is the way, and no one else is either. They'll pretend that they are, but they're not. They're not. And I'm describing to you the stuff that we've experienced, that I've experienced. I'm describing to you the stuff that we see in the organizations that I've worked for and work with now. I'm creating content and things that I hope is valuable to you on your journey towards humanizing your approaches. It's not meant for everybody. It's meant for you. That's it. So some people are going to get mad about it. Some people are going to want to throw rocks at it. And that's cool. I think it's all in good fun, at least from my perspective. So back to, I guess, the main key points here, the key takeaways, is that treating our people like the good, well-intentioned people that they are, that should be part of the basics, like rooted right in there. Like, I don't know how we can say, like, our safety management systems are the basics of the basics, but treating people like dog shit, that's the way forward. That's how we get them to be better at safety management systems and teach us. Teach us how, good luck. Now, key takeaway number two, and maybe you don't agree with me, that taking good care of our people, treating people like people, like the good and caring and amazing folks that they are, if you don't think that's one of the basics, that's okay. That's cool. I know we find ourselves maybe in a bit of a chicken or the egg conversation here a little bit. But if it's not part of the basics, do we just want to stop at the basics? Is that really our goal in this entire thing? To say, okay, we got really good at the basics. That's it. That's nothing. There's nothing else. There's no improvement to be seen here. Don't look over here. There's no improvement to be seen over here. That's kind of like saying, why in the hell would I install this great HVAC? I've got a perfectly good fireplace and my windows work perfectly fine to open to let fresh air in and to cool down the house. I don't need to advance this at all. I don't need to grow in my thinking at all. Let's just do the same old things we've done, just harder, more vigorously, maybe a bit more aggressively. But let's just do the basics. So even if you don't agree with me that taking good care of the folks that are entrusted to our care, treating our fellow humans as fellow humans, as the great, amazing people that they are, if you don't agree with me that that's part of the basics, is it not at least something to grow towards? Is it not at least maybe a part of this equation? I hate that we always approach things with it's like it's either this or that. It's this or. It's this or. Can two things, multiple things, not be true at once? I believe that they can. I believe that multiple things can be true at once. I think that we can agree that whether you agree with it being part of the basics, as I do, that having strong and robust safety management systems is probably a stinking good thing. But also having an environment where people can teach us where those things aren't working very well for us, so we can learn and improve together instead of us doing our safety management systems to people. It's something that we do together. Can both things not be true? Again, even if we don't agree on the fact that, or on my idea, that treating people well, creating environments in which you can operationally learn, that people can provide you not only feedback, but ideas for solutions, can we not agree that we can at least do both of those things at the same time? That just saying we have a strong, robust safety management system that no one can tell us the truth about, that's enough. I don't think so. I think there's a lot of room for growth, even if we don't agree that that should be part of what we're rooted in as, air quotes here, the basics. I think that we can, in fact, do both, that we can evolve beyond the fireplace, that we can maybe look back without judgment, without this big dose of presentism going, well, that's how we're trying to do things now, so everything else we've done has sucked. I think that we can continue to improve. We can improve our safety management systems through operational learning. But we can only operationally learn if we create an environment, at least meaningful operational learning, meaningful improvement, improvement that matters. We can only do that if we create an environment in which people can tell us the truth, the good, the bad, the ugly, the scary, the weird, the strange. If it's something that we're doing together, if it's something that is ours, that we're actively trying to improve together. On to key point number three here. If you want your safety management systems to work extremely well for the people that they are supposed to be working well for, you have to create an environment in which people can tell you where they're not working well. You have to create an environment in which people can say, this part works really, really well, and it's great, and we really depend on it. But over here, you know, in the past, we've shown you that it's working well. We've done all the paperwork. So your spreadsheets look cool and all. When you go up and you talk to the executives about it, you get to tell them that, hey, it's green, 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 green. Everything's great. But that's just make-believe. We do that because you audit the hell out of us, and we've had to adapt and figure out how to bend this a bit to show you that it's working, because it's not working at all. I want to be able to have that conversation. If you want your safety management systems to work well for the people that they're supposed to work well for, if you want to be operating your organization on reality, operational reality, instead of operational best guesses or operational fantasy, you have to create that environment where people can tell you the truth. People are only going to tell you what you allow them to tell you. We want to create that environment in which people can bring us the raw, the real, the good, the bad, the ugly, and the scary about our safety management systems, the basics, and pretty much everything else. So I guess the main moral of the story here, back to that slide that I mentioned from Brian Haywood, I believe it came from you, Brian, and I love it. I think it was super neat, is that HOP is not really part of our safety management systems. It's really the environment in which our safety management systems exist. It's not so much about HOP being part of our safety management system or this system or that system. It's not so much about what we do. It's how we think about things. It's how we approach these things. It's the tactics that emerge from how we think and approach these things. It informs the design of our safety management systems. It informs the design of the basics, how the basics are working, if they're working well, where they're not working, and on and on and on and on, allowing us to make sure and improve over time these systems, allowing us to make sure that they're working well, and if they're not, improve them, right, with the folks that have to use them. To me, that's as basic as it gets. I think that's about as basic as it gets. So again, the moral is, I think that these things play nicely together. You've never heard me say that we should throw the baby out with the bathwater. In fact, quite the opposite, and 100% quite the opposite. You've never heard me say that blame fixes nothing means zero blame, that means that people can just come in and start murdering people in their work world, and then that's it. You just don't, no blame. They were just having a bad day. Have you ever heard me say that? You've never heard me say that. The only people that assume that they've heard me say that are the people that have not listened to the things that I've had to say. That's it. And then on top of that, the things that I've had to say, I'm not that authoritative third person from up on high telling you this is the way forward. I'm describing to you the experiences that we've had, what we have seen as a result of doing things a bit differently. What I've seen as a result of doing things a bit differently, of living and leading through these principles of human and organizational performance and doing that consistently within our organizations to the best of our abilities, because we're going to get it wrong. I get it wrong. You get it wrong. We all get it wrong. But doing it consistently over time helps us create that environment in which operational learning is possible. So then instead of building our safety management systems, our HR systems, that approach, this procedure, that rule, this policy, instead of building all that stuff off of our best guesses, off of operational fantasy, of us locking ourselves in that posh conference room and saying we know best because we have fancy shoes and nice titles, we build it off of operational reality, and we build it with and for the people that have to use it. So there you go. This one got a little ranty. I like it. I've not had an opportunity to get a little ranty in a few minutes. So I hope you enjoyed it, and I hope that that bit of rambly rant made a bit of sense to you. Let me know what you think. TheHopNerd@gmail.com. Again, I don't think the basics aren't the basics. I think the basics are still the basics, and I think the basics matter quite a lot. And I think you should get real, real great at doing the basic real, 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 real well. But I think the way that we treat people, i.e. treating people like the good people that they are, approaching our organizations like groups of amazing folks doing amazing things with good intentions and mostly creating good outcomes, you know, treating them like people, approaching them with the understanding that their intentions are good and they're doing work for us, on behalf of us, for us. And instead of treating them like a bunch of unruly school children that we need to beat, blame, and shame and have rigid systems of control to fix these pesky people, I think part of that basics is treating people like the good people that they are. So there you go. Until next time, I will. That's it. I love you. I mean it. Bye, everybody. Bye.
Thanks for listening, everybody. We greatly appreciate all of your support of the Hot Nerd Podcast, the Hot Nerd LLC. If you need a little bit of help of bringing human and organizational performance to life, if you would like to take your efforts around learning and improving to the next level, yep, I can help with that. Head over to www.thehotnerd.com or send me an email, thehotnerd@gmail.com. Until next time, bye, everybody. Bye.